Hello, and welcome to the Facility Executive Podcast, where we discuss the latest trends and strategies in facility design, operation, and maintenance. I'm your host, Jennifer Goetz, the editorial director of Facility Executive. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Gavin McGregor Skinner, the director of the Global Biorisk Advisory Council, GBAC, a division of ISSA, the leading trade association for the cleaning industry. As an infection prevention expert and consultant, he works to develop protocols and education for the global cleaning industry to empower facilities, businesses, and cleaning professionals to create safe environments. Gavin, thank you for being here with us today.
You're very welcome.
Awesome. So today we will be discussing cleaning for health. So Gavin, how would you define cleaning for health in 2022? What do you think are going to be some of the biggest cleanliness concerns for 2023?
Well, it's really important to understand the primary purpose of cleaning is to protect human health. But traditionally, we've cleaned to restore and maintain the appearance or the smell of valuable property. We've cleaned for appearance and smell, and we've failed to consider health implications. So this traditional approach has led to an illusion that this way of cleaning is healthy, that neat and tidy equals clean equals healthy. And as a result, some people in an environment that appears neat and clean will still have adverse reactions in the form of skin or eye irritations, difficulty breathing, general malaise, that's, lack of energy, or outright illness and infection. So no matter how hard we brush, scrub or sweep, we have a limited ability to see harmful substances. Now, to prevent these adverse health effects, the best environmentally informed cleaning strategy is to remove or reduce the amount of anything that can cause harm. So cleaning for health means we are trained to understand what needs to be cleaned and disinfected, and how often.
Perfect. So what would you say are some of the biggest cleanliness concerns?
Well, for too long, clean has been a subjective term. It's been determined by simple visual assessment, such as two people inspecting the same room or the same object might have a different opinion whether or not it passes the test, the cleanliness test. So the fact is, surfaces appearing to be clean might not necessarily be clean when scientifically quantified or qualified. So remember, what you can't see can hurt you. And so you should be striving for health-based cleaning. We've talked about, cleaning for health. So I'm gonna say this in all capitals. I know you can't see this, Jennifer, but I'm gonna say this in all capitals. The need to measure cleanliness. Everyone needs to measure cleanliness. And so well-trained staff, if they're given adequate time, equipped with the best tools, products, and processes, will deliver a clean, healthy, and safe room. So the biggest concerns that I have right now is that to be certain that the built environment, any indoor space, is clean to the level of cleaning for health, you have to be able to demonstrate that through measurement. You have to make the invisible visible.
Of course. So kind of following that, how do you suggest facility managers adjust their approach to cleaning when a new virus or illness is present? Because that's very interesting about cleaning needs to be this idea that a lot of people see something and they think it's clean versus it's not clean, not really seeing deeper about how clean an actual space is.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. We've just gone through the COVID-19 pandemic. We're having a really severe flu season. We've seen respiratory syncytial virus, rhinoviruses, other bacteria and viruses circulating. Everyone needs to understand right now that cleaning of surfaces is one of our key defenses in the battle against infectious diseases, allergies, and also the exposure to harmful pollutants or contaminants. The intention about measuring important factors for cleanliness has to be understood by facility managers. They have to understand that measurement is the key to process improvement. So if we look at why do we measure, we have to understand what are the risks for these viruses, these bacteria, these germs, these illnesses. So if we think about someone coming into our indoor space and they're coughing, they'll produce about 3,000 droplets for one cough. Now, a sneeze produces about 40,000 droplets. Okay, so why is that important? Because each droplet may contain as many as 200 million virus particles.
Wow.
Now, those particles, when you sneeze, they can travel up to 26 feet across a room. Coughing, when you cough, those 3,000 droplets, which have 200 million virus particles per droplet, can go up to 6 feet. Now, just normal breathing and talking, we can spread droplets up to 3 feet. Now, this is really important. When you flush the toilet, do you close the lid?
Yes.
Right. If you did not close the lid when you flush the toilet, you can create the toilet flush creates what we call a toilet sneeze. Mm-hmm. And those droplets come up out of the toilet and they can travel 8 feet away. Mm-hmm. So if you understand the hazards and the risks, and you think, okay, well, how do I get infected? Most of the diseases that we see that circulate throughout the year, even the ones that are circulating right now, the COVID-19, the flu, the colds, the respiratory syncytial virus, the RSV, you only need about 1,000 infectious virus particles to be infected and get sick. And so the risk is there. So if we don't clean for health, we're going to live in a very high risk environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And so once facility managers really understand how much doing certain things like closing the lid on a toilet, like how much germs can spread just through not taking some of these steps, how can the facility really help to promote hand hygiene and other cleanliness practices within a facility, especially during a time such as cold and flu season? How can facility management demonstrate to building occupants and staff that maintaining a clean facility is a main priority?
Oh, this is a great question because it's all about how important, you know, if we just think that cleaning is really the backbone of the American economy, you wouldn't go into a dirty hotel, or you wouldn't, if you went into a hotel that was dirty, you wouldn't go back there. The same with a restaurant, and the same with other facilities. Schools, you know, we want our schools to be healthy for our kids to learn and be productive. So it's really important that facility managers understand that we can use evidence-based objective measurement. We can measure the air quality. We can measure water quality. We can measure the cleanliness of surfaces. And to really do that, we can use things like chemical markers, which are showing things that are invisible to the naked eye, but show up with ultraviolet light. Or even these markers will change color when a cleaning product or a disinfectant is applied. So it shows what has been done, what has been cleaned. We have other technology, really easy to use handheld technology like handheld meters that test surfaces. And they test surfaces for a compound called adenosine triphosphate or ATP. Now, ATP is the energy molecule that's inside all living cells. So ATP is found in bacteria, mold, fungus, viruses, other organic materials. It's just found in all germs. It's just found everywhere. And ATP provides, an ATP meter provides feedback in less than 30 seconds. So this enables anyone, like cleaning professionals, to verify how clean surfaces are with respect to germs. We also have really now, and we've seen a lot of these come through our GBAC STAR program, which is a facility accreditation program at ISSA, where more facilities now, restaurants, hotels, convention centers, airports, are using indoor air quality monitors. Now, these are really interesting because they've really expanded. They've gone exponential in the last couple of years, about the same size as a smoke detector. Now, they measure particles at different sizes. And if there are particles in the air, then, again, they could cause allergies. They could be pollutants. But also, germs can piggyback on those particles. So it's really important that we understand what our air quality is and how many particles are in the air, and then we come up with ways through cleaning surfaces and cleaning the air to decrease those particles, which, again, is going to create a healthier indoor space.
Of course, and that's very interesting. I think it's so neat that there are ways to make cleaning more visible and that people can actually see what's clean and what's not, to take some of the guesswork out of cleaning. And then also something you mentioned, indoor air quality is such a top of mind topic. Obviously, because of COVID-19, it has really brought this really to the forefront. But even just this makes me think about some of the latest trends in indoor air quality and maybe what we can look for in 2023 for more buildings. So I was just speaking to somebody the other day about how a lot of times people will update HVAC systems and think that that's really going to just help handle some of these ultrafine particles in system, in the air. But really, it doesn't always do enough. So I'm curious to know from your perspective, what can facility managers do on the indoor air quality front to help, you know, make their buildings safer?
Oh, you're absolutely right. I've seen so much money invested in technologies, processes, procedures that work, and actually money that's been invested in stuff that wasn't even required or didn't meet the need of the indoor built space. So it's really important that facility managers understand that, first of all, dirty air can lead to dirty surfaces, and that dirty surfaces can lead to dirty air. And what we're trying to do at ISSA right now with all our members and all the facilities we work with is that everyone, if they don't have it by now, by the end of 2023, you need to have an indoor air quality plan. Every facility manager should have one. And if not, we're here to help you develop one. They're really easy to develop. And so you develop these plans to ensure that the facility manager has the correct evidence, science-based information to do something that's affordable, It has to be doable, realistic, and it has to help you do better in creating better quality indoor air. And so it's really important that right now, to do that, you have to get a baseline. So everyone right now should be looking at what indoor air quality monitor do I have or do I need to measure the air we breathe in any facility. And again, I said before, they're about the size of a smoke detector, and that gives you in real time, all the time, what the quality of air is throughout the day. And if we start to get that baseline, we start to put these indoor air quality monitors in all of our indoor spaces, we need to start thinking about particles in the air. Now, this is really interesting because if we know that the human eye can see particles about 50 micrometers or larger. So to put that into context, the average diameter of a human hair is 50 micrometers. As we get older, our eyesight decreases and we may only see 80 micrometers or 100 micrometers. But the point is, if we are using human sight to protect people's health, that's not it. That's not doing it, because we must remove all the particles of all the sizes, especially the small ones. And those small ones are 10 micrometers or less. And these indoor air quality monitors, they measure these small particles. They measure the small particles that are 10 micrometers or less. And they give you the results right there, then in real time. And they're showing things that you can't see. They're too small to see by the human eye. Now, if we focus with our indoor air quality plans on these small particles, then we're doing our best efforts. We're spending our money wisely and correctly. And we're able to show to our employees, our staff, our users of our indoor space that, yes, when you came into our indoor space, our built environment, we considered the whole entire building environment, our air and our surfaces, and we can show you with real measurements that we've reduced the harmful particles, and it's now our top priority. And it becomes a really important message to get out to all users of the building. We are doing this because we care, and it's our top priority.
Of course, and it feels like more people care, especially in this time of social distancing and COVID, where there's just a heightened awareness of indoor air quality. It just wasn't a conversation a lot of people were having prior to COVID. So to really get the word out there and to let people know that you're taking these extra steps to ensure that your buildings are as healthy as possible can go a long way. And that kind of leads into my next question. I think you talked about how this is a great opportunity for buildings to just showcase how they're taking measures to protect their occupants and make sure they feel safe. So I'm kind of curious to know, how else do you think facility managers can communicate to building occupants that the action steps they have taken to improve indoor air quality and reduce the risk of disease transmission in their buildings?
Well, we are seeing a paradigm shift where people are actually paying more attention, and they're leaving the safety of their homes and they're going out into other buildings and they're actually asking questions. How did you clean this indoor space today or yesterday? And so it's really important that facility managers understand that right now you should be starting to tell your story, tell your cleaning story. Start by showing people how you clean and what you measure. Many people that use our buildings just don't know how we clean them, because in the past that was done in the hours of darkness and they never saw us being clean. So the big paradigm shift we're seeing now is that people have an expectation. They want to see the cleaning professionals actually cleaning. And then it's really important for facility managers to be transparent and explain what, how, and when, and what the cleaning professionals are actually doing. So I think right now I would highly recommend that the facility managers need to be able to explain five key things. They need to be able to explain how they trained, how their cleaning professionals were trained. They need to be able to explain the equipment, the necessary tools they use to clean and disinfect their indoor space, and how often they do it. They need to be able to explain a lot of time that takes to do necessary tasks, because time is our biggest weakness. It's our biggest evil at the moment. We just don't have enough time, where if we actually developed a strategic plan and we focused on the hazards and the risks, we can make that. We have the time. So we've got to be very strategic in how we clean. And then tell people, as a facility manager, I'm providing the tools to enable scientific measurement to show cleanliness, and that we're dealing in the best way that we can of all the pollutants, all the contaminants, including the germs that are harmful to your health. That's for when you come in to my building, you should feel confident, safe, happy that it's a healthy building.
Of course, absolutely. And one of the other things you touched on, when you're going through five key things that facility manager should demonstrate is equipment. And that brings us to an interesting point where when you actually look at cleaning product, there are a lot of chemicals in various cleaning products that have been used in the past that can have a negative impact on a facility's environment itself. So it's almost like you can trade one problem for another sometimes if you're not using the proper equipment. So research has shown that minimizing the use of strong chemicals can lead to a safer environment free of VOCs, excessive fragrances, or fumes that can add to air pollution. So what advice might you have for facility managers on how to balance cleaning more frequently while still keeping environments comfortable and healthy?
Yeah, this is really, really important. As we talked about the ability for facility managers to tell their cleaning story, the trained cleaning professionals that work in you know, all of our facilities, if they've been trained, they know how to help maintain a balanced ecosystem. They know how to use the right product in the right place at the right time. They're trained to follow the directions on the product label. And so many of us in our homes, when we buy cleaning products or disinfectants, we should be asking that question right now. When was the last time we actually read the label and we followed the directions on the label? So cleaning products and disinfectants by professionals are used based on their training and the ability to read the label and understand the label. Now, when you look at cleaning products and disinfectants from across the industry that ISSA represents, they're designed to protect health. They are not designed to cause illness. They are not designed to damage objects or services. And yes, they can be harmful if you don't read the label and you don't follow the instructions. So when they're not used properly, and that happens when the label's not read and the directions of use are not followed, then they can be harmful. That's when we see the overuse, the toxic levels in the environment. So what I really wanted to ensure everyone focused on today, if you're cleaning for health, ensure your cleaning products and your disinfectants are not overused. You do not inappropriately introduce toxic substances. And part of the job when you do use a cleaning product and a disinfectant, if you read the label, it also says you have to remove the residue. And a lot of people don't do this. So when we use a disinfectant, yes, it will destroy and kill bacteria and germs and viruses, but it also leaves a residue that is part of the cleaning process. You have to remove that residue. So it's really important. So if we go back just to quickly look at, say, think about disinfectants. Read the label. Understand that on that label, there's a dwell or wet contact time. You've paid money for this disinfectant. It's written on the label how to use it. Allow the product enough time to do its job to kill or destroy the germs. And then if it says you must clean and remove the residue after use, then follow the directions, follow the label and do that. And that's going to help protect that environment. And it's really important that we understand cleaning is all about removing pollutants. And disinfectant is all about destroying and killing the germs that can harm our health.
Absolutely. And before we close, you've really talked and covered a lot about the importance of cleaning for health. But is there anything that maybe we haven't discussed that you think is really important to include in a discussion about this topic?
Oh, gosh, something that's really changed that gives me more confidence that people can actually clean for health. So I travel a lot now. As a senior director of the Global Biorisk Advisory Council at ISSA, we actually interact. We actually go and visit facilities. We talk to facility managers. And what I'm seeing right now, you know, before the pandemic, go back to, say, 2008 and 2019, cleaning professionals were responsible for cleaning for health. And the users or the other employees or the other staff in those facilities did not understand that it's everyone's responsibility to clean for health. It's not just solely the cleaning professional, your facility. So cleaning for health, what I'm seeing right now through our GBAC Star accredited programs is that those facilities now have taken cleaning for health to the next level. They've developed partnerships between everyone, all the stakeholders that use that indoor space. For examples, an indoor space can be maintained throughout the day, not just by chemicals or products, but by using a microfiber cloth. These are microfiber cloths that have electrostatic properties. They act like a magnet. Or you could even use a disinfectant wipe to wipe down the surfaces that people touch. The fact that we need to remove spills immediately. The fact that we need to use communication that actually works, like not just put a poster on the wall telling people to wash their hands, but tell them verbally or give them, you know, I'm going to airports now. I'm going to convention centers. I'm going to hotels, which actually, you know, every 10, 15 minutes will put out a verbal reminder, wash your hands with soap and water for 20 seconds and, you know, do this by singing the happy birthday song twice. They're doing that. That's being proactive. And so it's really important as we clean for health, It's got to be a partnership. It's everyone's responsibility, because if at the end of the day, if we think about our lives, what we do, and if we think that we spend about 90% of our day indoors, if we live to be 80 years old, that means we've been indoors for 72 years. And that's why cleaning for health is so important.
Absolutely. And just from your conversations with facility managers, are there any challenges that they've had to face when it comes to updating their cleaning protocols and taking a different approach to cleaning for health than they have in the past? And how have they overcome them?
Time has always been an enormous challenge for us. By having a plan, being strategic, identifying the hazards and the risks for areas that aren't clean, that can be reservoirs for germs, for example, we'll be able to decrease the time it takes to clean a room. Using the appropriate equipment, using the right cleaning products and disinfectants, providing training to cleaning professionals, not just when they start working for you, but actually having a workforce development plan where they continually learn and relearn the knowledge, the skills and the abilities that actually define them as cleaning professionals. And then more important, if you're going to spend money on people to clean and you're going to spend money on equipment and cleaning products and disinfectants, be able to measure the level of cleanliness, but also be able to explain how you clean your facility, because people will keep coming back to your facility if they know what you do.
Of course. That's awesome. Gavin, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Wonderful. Well, special thank you to ISSA for sponsoring this episode. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Facility Executive Podcast.